He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Welcome to the GM's office. Liam Ellison here alongside Jared Gunn, as always. Jared, how are you this afternoon?
Going well, Liam. Yourself?
I'm going very well. Just a bit of an update on my glorious trip, Jared. We're currently in the King Valley in Victoria before heading back to Melbourne tomorrow. We've been to a few wineries today. Done a bit of tasting. Feeling very much festive at the moment, you could say.
Yeah, how many drinks in are we in tonight, Liam, already?
I'm not going to disclose that on the podcast, but look, let's get straight into a very festive topic as well. Carmelo Anthony, back in the NBA. How about it?
I know, Liam, and with the Trailblazers, and I'm not going to lie, Liam, call me a prophet or whatever, but I did earmark this happening a couple of weeks ago.
The prophet, Jared Gunn, unbelievable. And yes, you're right, you did. I mean, we sort of spoke about it like it wasn't going to happen, but yes, indeed, he's gone to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, it's a massive move for them. They've started the season off 4-8, not where they'd like it, but they've lost their whole bench, the Portland Trailblazers, and they've got so many injuries right now, so they had to plug someone in. I don't know if Melo's going to be the guy necessarily, but it's worth the try.
Yeah, I agree. It is worth the try. They need to try something. Obviously, Zach Collins out with injury. And, you know, other than that, they've got guys like Anthony Tolliver, Scalabissier. None of these players are really going to move the needle in the tight Western Conference playoff race. So, look, do you think Melo comes off the bench or do you think he starts that power forward spot?
I'm not 100% sure yet, Liam, but I can say that he probably will play the most minutes out of all the guys that will run at the four position. So, Nazir Little came in and started at the four yesterday for the Trailblazers and put up 7 and 5. Five rebounds, that is, in his first game as a starter. I think there's a chance that they could extend his start as a starter, Liam, because he was quite promising yesterday, and they have Melo coming off the bench, but Melo's still going to get a solid block of minutes.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting if Little can hold down that spot. It will be interesting to see how Melo goes. I believe he's on a non-guaranteed deal, so, you know, there is a chance that maybe it doesn't work out. That he'll be moved on. But look, you'd have to probably back him in at this stage. Hopefully he's learned from maybe some of his mistakes at previous stints in Houston and the like. And, you know, possibly in deeper leagues, Melo can be a pretty good fantasy option, probably especially in points leagues, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, Liam. He'd know that this is his last chance as a player, so he's got to buy into that role. And I'm thinking that Melo is going to put up similar numbers that he did at the OKC Thunder a couple of years ago, which is around 16 and 6. So if he can put up those numbers, because he's clearly the number three option behind Lillard and McCollum, I think that'd be a good result for fantasy owners.
I think that'd be awesome stuff as well. Obviously, in categories, he's going to be, you know, probably a good source of three-pointers, and that usage in points and rebounds will make him, you know, a really good points league option as well. Steph Curry, Jared. So we've been sort of umming and ahhing about whether he will return at all this season. Well, he's come out and said that he plans to return sometime in early spring. Now, that makes it around March from my calculations.
I don't know if I buy this or not, Liam. Do you buy this news? Because I just can't see it happening.
I mean, look, I buy that. You know, the plan is for him to come back in early spring, but I see what you mean, because this would have to be a fluid plan, you'd think. I mean, this could change. If it gets to March and the Warriors are, you know, 20 and 45, do you think they bother?
Yeah, that's my whole point as well. They're 2-10 right now. They're at a worse record than they were in 2016, Liam, when they went 73-9. It's incredible. But if they somehow can recapture some sort of form and they get around the 500 mark, who knows? They could choose to sort of push for the playoffs. They do have a really good core, but they've got Klay Thompson out as well. They'd have to have the whole crew back running fit at that time of the year. I just can't see it happening. So Steph Curry right now, you could hold him in an IR spot, but I wouldn't be expecting much at all.
Yeah, I suppose that was going to be my next question. What do you do with Steph in fantasy? You know, he would have been available on some waiver wires. Could owners potentially look at this and go, hey, look, he said he's going to be back for fantasy playoffs. Do you pick him up and take that punt and maybe he's a difference maker?
Yeah, as an IR slot, definitely you could do that, but if another one of your stars gets injured, you'd be dropping him straight away to fit in that IR spot, depending how many that you do have. But Liam, it's time that the Warriors just gave up, I reckon. It's LaMelo season, baby.
LaMelo season. Goodness me. Playing pretty well down in the NBL. Had his probably best game of the NBL season the other day, LaMelo, against the Cairns Taipans, of course. 24 points and finally got that shot to drop because, I've been watching a bit of him, Jared, but that's probably the last piece of the puzzle for LaMelo if he wants to be, seriously considered for that number one spot.
Yeah, definitely. He's playing with the big boys, Liam, in the NBL, and I think he was close to a triple-double in that game as well, so he's starting to pull it together.
Yeah, he looks the goods for sure. Let's stay in the Western Conference with De'Aaron Fox. He's going to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks with a grade 3 ankle sprain that he sustained at practice. Now, I believe that a grade 3 ankle sprain is serious. That third tier that they've given it suggests that perhaps his absence will extend beyond the 3 to 4 weeks. And in fact, he'll be reevaluated at the end of that period, and that out time may extend. So this is definitely frustrating for owners of De'Aaron Fox, who had a bit of an up and down start to the season anyway.
Yeah, he was a little bit up and down, and I'm with you, Liam. That 3 to 4 weeks is quite generous for a grade 3 ankle sprain, but they do have a guy that I'm pretty big on coming off the bench at the moment for the Kings. It's Bogdan Bogdanovic, and I know that we spoke about him a couple weeks ago on the pod, and he's been putting up some really good numbers ever since De'Aaron Fox went out.
Had a great game the other day, 25 points, 10 assists, 4 steals, and 3 threes against Portland. As you said, did come off the bench for 32 minutes, clearly was one of the key ball handlers as well for the Kings. Starting a point guard, though, in Fox's absence was Corey Joseph, who played 38 minutes as the starting one, but only had 3 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, did have a couple of blocks there, but 1 of 6 shooting. So, I mean, look, I think Joseph will have better outings at that, but it looks like Bogdanovic is the real guy you should be looking at adding as a fantasy option.
Yeah, Corey Joseph's usage has actually been quite limited, even though he's had big minutes in those games. So unless you're playing in a pretty deep league format, I wouldn't be looking at him necessarily. I don't think he's going to be putting up many numbers, and that's assists and points, Liam. So not the guy that I'd be looking at, but if Bogdanovic is anywhere on your waiver wire, pounce on it straight away.
Yeah, I think maybe chuck Corey Joseph on your watch list, just in case, you know, he does have a nice little hot streak. He may be someone you want to look at in deeper leagues and the like. There's been a lot of injuries around the NBA, and we've spoken about this a bit so far this season. Well, they've continued. A few more guys have gone down. It continues, Jared. Chris Middleton now out 3 to 4 weeks himself with a left thigh contusion. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, it's another top 40 guy, Liam, and Chris Middleton, and it's a big loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, but in fantasy, it's quite a funny one, Liam, because just having a look at today's game, it seemed that Giannis and Eric Bledsoe were the two that covered the void the most.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe has been playing really well the last 4 games, and now, of course, Chris Middleton out for the next month. It looks as though Bledsoe will kind of slide over to that second option, and we should see some pretty decent numbers from him over the next month. So if you're an owner of him, you'd be very happy. Possibly even keep an eye on how well he does go, because in 2 or 3 weeks, he may be a sell-high option, just if he really goes out of control. Dante DiVincenzo did come into the starting lineup as well for Milwaukee, but didn't do a lot. So I'd be keeping an eye on him, but maybe he's a 3-point streamer, but I don't see too much upside from him.
Yeah, he's quite inconsistent, Dante, as a fantasy option. I think Wesley Matthews might receive the biggest uptick in terms of the guys that could fill the void. Wesley Matthews had the 15 points today, so if you're looking to get some points into your categories formats, you might want to look at Wesley Matthews. But other than that, I think the biggest upticks we're going to see is probably Eric Bledsoe, and Giannis will just keep doing what he does.
Yeah, let's go over to the Boston Celtics now, another Eastern Conference contender, off to a hot start, and Gordon Hayward, we have that timetable for return in now. It's 6 weeks, so overall, a pretty good result. The surgery on his left hand was successful, so clearly owners would hold for that period, would you say?
I definitely would be holding if you're an owner, but I've noticed in some of the leagues that we've been playing in, Liam, that he's been dropped.
Really?
Yeah, and wow. It's quite concerning if you're dropping him because I'd be trying to trade him before dropping him. I know 6 weeks is a large chunk of the season, but it's not half the season. It's only 6 weeks. So there's a lot more value than just dropping the guy and then picking up a guy that's probably sitting on your waiver wire throughout the season. I think you can definitely get a guy that's above average for Gordon Hayward right now.
Yeah, I think you're spot on in terms of trying to trade these guys who go down with injuries or suspensions. And clearly, if he's falling to your waiver wire, Gordon Hayward, that's a really good opportunity for some of the teams who've got off to a good start, won their first 2 or 3 games, to pick him up and get some real value, because 6 weeks is not too long. If you can back yourself in to at least, you know, split the next 6 and go 3 and 3, you'd be in a pretty good spot bringing a guy like Hayward back into your lineup. So interesting that he's been dropped in a few leagues. Victor Oladipo, another one. He's been assigned to the G League affiliate. So that's pretty much, as I understand it, to ramp up his training schedule. Obviously, got the lighter game schedule there in the G League, so he'll be able to get some training runs in as he looks to ramp up his comeback. And it's probably a mid-December, maybe January return for Oladipo from what we've seen.
Yeah, and that's where it's been sort of earmarked for his return, Liam, that December to January time. And he definitely should be owned right now, I'd say, Liam. And if you have an IR, he probably was drafted. But Victor Oladipo, if he still is on your waiver wire and you don't have an IR spot available right now, I'd be assessing your fantasy schedule, see what sort of position you are in right now in terms of your record and who you've got coming up and some of the players they might have before you choose to pick him up if he is on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I think it also should be noted that injury last year was really quite severe. And look, he'll probably take, you know, two to four weeks to really sort of get back into gear. It could even be a month or two. It was a very severe injury. You know, there's a fair chance that we don't see high-level production from him for a while. So if you are going to pick him up, I think you have to be prepared to ride out those bumps.
Yeah, it's like most stars when they come back, they really ease him in with their load management and low minutes, so Oladipo is not going to have a massive load to come back with, but it might be worth the risk if you make the playoffs.
Well, Jared, the Brooklyn Nets have been struggling big time so far to start the season. They're 4-7 at the moment. Kyrie Irving's been balling out, but it hasn't resulted in W's for the New York-based Brooklyn Nets. Caris LeVert now out as well for several weeks with ligament damage in the right thumb. So that pain in Brooklyn continues to compound.
Yeah, I feel bad for Caris LeVert. He can't catch a break. He's started the season off quite well, and he's injured again, very similar time to last season.
Yeah, it's certainly frustrating. I mean, look, obviously an injury for several weeks is a pretty good result, really, for fantasy owners. You'd clearly hold through that period. LeVert seems a little bit injury prone possibly at the moment, but the thing is, these injuries that we've had over the last couple of years have just been flukes. I mean, you know, ligament damage in your right thumb, and then obviously the way he fell last year on his leg. I mean, these things can't be accounted for, so you hold through with LeVert and hope he comes back strong.
Would you possibly try and sell him right now, Liam? Because I noticed something with Caris LeVert is that it's going to take him a little bit of time to adjust back into the swing of things. It was very similar to last season when he returned for the Nets. He did get back to that form towards the playoffs, but it did take a good 3 to 4 weeks before he got back to his best.
I think he definitely could give it a go. You know, obviously always a bit of a struggle to get proper value for a guy that's injured, but if you did want to get off him and possibly lose, you know, maybe 10 or 20 draft picks in terms of value, and just get a guy who you can bank for 75 games a year, yeah, maybe you do look at it. But I guess it is a case-by-case basis, isn't it?
Yeah, I personally like his upside as a player. They're giving him plenty of opportunity with the basketball to do what he does as a player. So I'd be holding, and you know, if he does stay fit for the rest of the season, it's going to really help you towards the playoffs.
Yeah, me personally, I'd be holding as well. I think it's never really a good idea to be trading guys when their value is at its lowest, unless it's a really you know, unique situation. I think, Jared, I think it might be time on this podcast that we touched on Andrew Wiggins. Now, he's been playing really good basketball in the last, you know, 5 or 7 games, and sort of just let it go. But it's gotten to the point where, you know, maybe this is a real thing. Maybe he is going to be a top 50 fantasy guy this year.
Wait, Liam, did you get that name wrong? Did you mean Maple Jordan?
Maple Tree. You know, the Timberwolves have been peddling that nickname on their social media channels for a few years now, you know, much to my and everyone else's amusement. But at the moment, it doesn't seem too far from the truth.
Yeah, look, Liam, I've got a bit of a take on this. I did a bit of research on Andrew Wiggins today, and what's causing this massive break in form, Liam. He's had a bit of a big break again, Andrew Wiggins, and I think he hasn't had much going his way. Over the last two seasons, he's had two ball-dominant guards and Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose in that lineup with him, which hasn't helped. It's forced him off the ball, and you'd know that best as a Timberwolves fan, but Jeff Teague going out for a few games this season, and I think he's been playing the point guard position for the Wolves. It's really helped his case because he's been able to score the ball, put the ball in his hands, but also dish out lots of assists as well.
I think you're spot on. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is not a guy who you want to stick, you know, on a wing or in a corner to spot up threes. He's not a sharpshooter from three. I think he's shooting 36% from three at the moment, which is very good for fantasy owners. He's giving you a few threes there at the moment. But yeah, you're right. It's that ability to put the ball in his hands at the top and use his, you know, length and speed to just go past guys. He's been working on his handle, from what I've heard, over the offseason, and that's really showed. I mean, he's been bursting past guys and getting easy lay-ins, and his shot selection has improved dramatically. Obviously, you know, he's infamous now for those long twos that are obviously so inefficient, but he's really sort of got rid of that. And now it's just layups and threes, and, you know, obviously he's improved the scoring, but the rebounding is there, going at about 5 a game, and the assist as well, tracking up to around 4 a game. And that's always been the problem with Andrew Wiggins as a fantasy option. All he does is score, and often inefficiently. So if you can add other things to his games, like the rebounding, the assists, the steals, etc., all of a sudden he can be top 50. So owners who showed a bit of faith have been rewarded.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you are an owner of Andrew Wiggins right now, you'd be hoping that he does stay at the one position, because Jeff Teague came off the bench today and he scored the 16 points. He could be a really good six-man option for the Wolves going into the rest of the season. If Andrew Wiggins can keep starting at the one, I'm pretty confident that this form can stay. He's shown that he can score the basketball, and in these 5 games that he's played recently, he's shown that he can facilitate as well. So it's good signs both ways.
Yeah, look, one other interesting little tidbit from Andrew Wiggins' play is, I mean, look, he's only 24, and I think it's pretty easy to forget that when he's been in the league for so long now. We kind of feel like we know what he is, but, you know, probably in hindsight, it's pretty silly of us to kind of look at a guy at age 23 and go, right, that's Andrew Wiggins, that's all he's ever going to be, you know? I mean, he's younger than Kendrick Nunn, he's younger than Malcolm Brogdon, he's younger than Pascal Siakam. These sort of guys that we look at as real high upside young guys, and yet Andrew Wiggins is younger than all these guys, so, you know, He's yet to hit his prime. So possibly a bit of a lesson that these 19-year-old kids who come into the league so young, we can't be sort of making full judgments on them until they kind of reach probably 25, 26.
Yeah, definitely. And he's starting to show that he's putting it together right now. And I know that you were concerned going into this season, Liam, that we're going to get the same old Andrew Wiggins, and it's good to see that he's turned it around.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, obviously I am the, you know, Timberwolves fan here, the long-suffering, but I can't claim to be a Andrew Wiggins, you know, supporter over the long run. I'm absolutely stoked that he's doing it now, but I was not a believer, as you said, at the start of the year. So, you know, those owners who may have drafted him inside the top 100, well done, because you've got a steal there so far anyway. One last player we should talk about today is Derek Favors, who had a 2020 game in a win over your LAC Clippers. Did you manage to catch that one?
I didn't watch the game today, Liam, and I was a bit cut. I didn't just could not fit the game into my schedule, but it was good to see Paul George come in and play a pretty big role in his first game for the Clippers. But Derek Favors did come in and have the 2020 game, but I think it can be attributed to Lonzo Ball not playing today, and also Brandon Ingram was out too. So it could be a little bit of an outlier, but still, Derek Favors, when given the opportunity to play at the five, can put some really good numbers up.
Yeah, it's good signs, but as you said, you know, Ingram out, obviously Zion will impact that usage as well coming back. What do you project going forward? Because coming into the season, I was not particularly high on Derek Favors as a fantasy option compared to some other outlets. You know, this performance is encouraging, but I do agree with you that the, you know, return of Ingram and Zion and the like is going to damage him. So I don't know if this sort of stuff will continue. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think maybe in the short term, it could be quite good, especially if there's injuries, but I'd be trying to sell high on Derek Favors if he's putting up these numbers, especially over the next week or two before some of these other guys come back into the Pelicans lineup. I'd be selling on him if you can.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea as well. He probably would have been available on a few waiver wires for a while there when he was out for injury. So if any owners have picked him up, or if he is still available on your waiver wire, he might be worth picking up and just seeing where it goes, because you never know. At his best, Derek Favors is a strong fantasy option. I think that's all we've got time for today, Jared. Next time we talk, I think it'll be face-to-face. I'll be back in Melbourne, and we can get underway once again with our visual show. So that will be great.
Yeah, please pay attention to the visual shows. We're going to be putting plenty of effort into those, so make sure you get onto whatever social media you use. We'll have it all on the three social media platforms that we do use, and make sure you give it a like and a couple of views.
Yeah, should be good. At the GM's office, as you said, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Well, thanks very much for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next time.